We're so excited that we're in the spot we are as a church. I don't know if you've been here for a long time, you've been part of this church for a while, but I've been around for about 3.5 years, and I feel like I've never known such excitement within this church. I've never felt like there's such a level of anticipation about what God is doing. We just went. Last week we were 2 services. This week we're 3 services. Come on. That's awesome. That means that we are, one, we're stretching. The room that we have is getting less and less for the people that we have. But two, we want to make more room. We don't want to just open up enough chairs so that we can all sit comfortably and we don't have to sit beside anyone. We want to open enough chairs so that we can cram more people in, so that more people can be part of what's going on here, that we can welcome them in and we can believe that God is not just going to do what he's already done, but with us, he's going to do so much more. Amen? I really believe that. We're calling this series to kick off 3's a crowd, because 2 is company and 3's a crowd. So now we're 3 services, which means we're a crowd. We're a crowd. We're now a crowd. And I think it's good to be crowd status, because in the Bible, in fact, I've been reading through Matthew in the last while, and in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he talks about Jesus interacting with the crowd all the time. The crowd often had interactions with Jesus. And so this series is going to be out about us looking for the next few weeks at what is it that Jesus did with the crowd? What things did he do when the crowd was there? When the crowd showed up, what kind of things did he do? What kind of things can we anticipate, since we're a crowd and we're all kind of looking to Jesus and trying to figure out what he's going to do and seeing what he's going to accomplish? Since he did things with the crowd then, what can we expect him to do with this crowd now? And so that's what this series is going to be about. I don't know if you've spent much time in large crowds before. I can remember one of the biggest crowds I was ever in was at a Seattle Seahawks game. Has anyone been to a Seattle Seahawks game? I thought I'd try again. A first service, no go. Thought I'd try again, just see. And now we got me and 2 other people have been to a Seahawks game. So I guess that's okay. What about Canucks game? Anyone? Canucks game? Still, well, I'm glad you come to church, you know. You don't have to go to sporting events. You came to church, so hallelujah. I went to a Seattle Seahawks game, and in the Seahawks game, there's 70,000 people in that stadium. That's a large number. Some of us would have a hard time comprehending that, but that would be as if every person in the Comox Valley was in one spot at the same time. That's a lot of people in one space, and we're all there, we're all the crowd, we're all looking in, and I remember thinking about how different everyone was. You know, how every person sort of had their own thing, and they looked different, they behaved different, they had different jobs, they came from different places, they had different amounts of money. Some people liked the garlic fries. Anyone with me on that one? No, also no. Wowie, here we go. Come on, let's shake it up a little bit here. I love the garlic fries, okay? Maybe does anyone, how about just who's just goes and gets a nice water? Is that anyone? Water? No? Okay. We're on the island. We are on Vancouver Island. Give me the pure, give me the right. Anyways. So I get the garlic fries. Sorry, I'm guilty. Garlic, grease, fry, eat, feel gross. I love it. So I get the garlic fries, and it's awesome, but I remember this one guy was sitting beside me, and he sort of revealed to me the difference in all the people there. He shows up, and he's just this kind of loud guy. He clearly shows up to a lot of Seahawks games. This is one of his hangouts, I think, and maybe he's got season passes. I don't know, but he's got long, straight hair down to, like, midway through his thighs, and he's one of these, like, boisterous kind of loud guys. He's always walking around and making a lot of gestures and noises and all sorts of stuff. Always got some food, yelling at people. Like, he'd walk up the aisle. He just wanted to say stuff. I don't know what was with that. Anyways, he's sitting beside me, and his hair is always, like, flowing over top of me and things like that. I'm, like, trying to eat my garlic fries, and, like, this is, like, I just give them to him. Like, you just take those things. And I remember him eating his burger like this. And in those seats, like, the person in front of you is, like, below you. And he's just eating his burger like this. It's just pouring all over the seat in front of him. oh, the person was really kind and just sort of like trying to like do this. And what, but this guy just didn't care. He just didn't, he's like, whatever, see ya, you know. And we got all these different sort of people in the group, you know. There's also the professionals who are sitting there and they're just taking a lunch break, really. They're coming for a football game on their lunch break. So they're trying to look all casual, one button down and feeling all right there. I'm at the football game. I'm hanging loose, you know. And all sorts of different folks around. Some people aren't paying attention at all. Some people are right engaged. Some people have no idea who any of the players are. Some people know the middle name of every player on the field. Like, so everyone knows something different. There's one guy who shows up. He's just like, well, I'm going to a football game. I'll wear my football jersey. And it's a jersey that doesn't match either of the teams that are playing. And it's like, well, do you know where you are or not? But the crowd was made up of a whole bunch of different people. We're all representing it. We're all just our own life has come to that moment where some of us are young, some of us are old. We all look different. We all act different. We all think differently. We get different snacks. We behave differently. Some are interested, some aren't interested, but we're the crowd. We're just a crowd. We're there to see something. We're there anticipating a good time watching a football game. We're there anticipating something fun is going to happen in front of us. Something is going to take place in front of us. And some of us aren't at all committed to the Seattle Seahawks, and some of us are diehard connected and committed to the Seahawks. A crowd is not committed. A crowd is about a bunch of people who are just there looking on and not necessarily committed to anything that's going on in front of them. And isn't it interesting that Jesus did more with the crowd than with the committed? He did more work with those who are just a sort of diverse set of people that weren't actually necessarily even committed to him yet. They're just sort of looking in and just wondering what he might do and wondering if something might happen and wondering if what everything that everyone else is saying about him is true and wondering if that healing that I heard about is actually going to happen, wondering if he's actually going to teach those things and say those wild things that we can't even believe he said, wondering if a miracle is going to take place, wondering if all the stories are really legitimate. And the crowd is made up of a whole diverse set of people all looking in, seeing, I wonder if Jesus is going to do something. Sometimes when we think our church is growing or we're going to add a service, we're going to have more people around, we think that it's going to become a more Christian environment. We're going to have more Christian people. We're going to have more people who are really committed to Jesus. And that's what will happen when we open the doors and invite a broader audience. But usually when we make space for more, it's not that we gain more Christians. It's that we gain more skeptics and doubters and questioners and people who've been hurt in the past and are wondering if maybe there's a healing here now and are giving it another try. Maybe even those who are opposing. And Jesus doesn't say to us, no, we better not do anything with them. Don't teach them. Don't do miracles with them. Don't pray for them. He's saying, this is the crowd who I had compassion on in Scripture. Now, when Jesus wandered around, he wasn't looking at a crowd and saying, I wonder how committed they are and if I should have compassion on them based on their commitment. He just sees a crowd. And he says, oh, these need to know me. They need to know what I have to bring to the table. They need to know what I can offer to their life. They need to know that I can set them free. They need to know that I can give them hope. They need to know that I can do something with their life. They need to know that I started their life for them. Oh, if they could only see it. So he had compassion on the crowd. Jesus worked in the crowd all the time. And so church often, at least the Sunday gatherings, these moments for us should probably look more like a crowd than a club. More like a group of people sort of trying to look in the same direction and see what Jesus might have to do with them, see what Jesus might accomplish, see what miracles might happen, rather than a select group of people who have separated themselves from everyone else and closed the doors and said, we are us, you are you. But Jesus welcomes the crowd in all of its messiness, in all of its confusion, in all of its all-over-the-place-ness, and the people getting up to go to the bathroom and then coming back, and kids running all over the place, and all that stuff. He says, this is who I love. I have compassion on them. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, it all starts with a crowd. But Jesus wasn't actually the one who drew the crowd. It was actually this other guy that drew a crowd, kind of an unlikely candidate for Jesus's, to be Jesus's public relations manager. His name's John the Baptist. And John the Baptist he's not a professional. You know, he's not very clean cut. He's not necessarily real good at social media or really good at preparing the way for anything, really. John the Baptist is this guy who's in the wilderness. He wears camel skin for an outfit, a camel hair like outfit with a leather belt, and he eats locusts and honey. And this is who Jesus chose to be the messenger of hope, to start pointing to Jesus. I love that. Imagine that was currently today. Imagine someone said to you, hey, listen, there's someone who lives in the wild. Just on the way to Cumberland, you turn off and you take that dirt road for a while. And if you go for a while, there's a sort of space that feels like you're not connected to anything whatsoever. Well, there's this person there. They've lived there most of their life and they don't really have a whole lot of social graces. And they wear camel hair, leather belt, eat locusts and honey. And they tell people to repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Do you want to go? Most of us aren't going to, oh yeah, let's go. Let's go get baptized, you know? Most of us aren't going to think that way. And so it's not like this was just a normal thing then, like, hey, let's all leave our normal life and go see crazy in the woods and get baptized by him. Most people weren't thinking that, but here is John. And we can tell right off the bat, right away, that Jesus, if he's going to draw a crowd together, it's not going to be of all the social elites. It's not going to be of all the rich and famous, of all the people who have it all figured out. He chose John. He chose John in the wilderness to yell out at people, come and repent and be baptized. And this is how Jesus was going to draw a crowd, and it worked. A crowd was drawn. That is a miracle in itself. Matthew 3, 1-5 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. By the way, that prophecy was like 600 years before Jesus showed up. I think if God was going to get a better messenger for Jesus, he had 600 years to do it. He could have done it. He picked John. He picked him. He picked him. He put him in place. Said, you little twitchy in the woods, you're the one that's going to point to Jesus, and hundreds and thousands, eventually millions, are going to come. John, you're going to start it. I would love to see that conversation with Jesus. Like, I'd just love to see. Okay, I picture a caveman. I don't know why I just do it. Like, okay. You know, it's like, carry on. I don't know why I picture that, but. So John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem. Here's the miracle. And all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So I love the message that he says. Here it is. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is all he says. Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So the crowd starts coming together for two reasons. One, to repent, and two, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. They start to develop a crowd that is built on the idea that the kingdom of heaven is coming near. They have more people and more people, and all sitting with an anticipation, looking around saying, what will the kingdom of heaven look like? Because we hear that it's near. We hear it's coming close. We hear something is going to happen. And so let's just gather in a crowd. We're a mixed group of people led by a really mixed leader. And we're just standing here waiting because something is about to happen. And the crowd started gaining some anticipation. You know, I want to be part of a crowd, of a mixed group of people in all sorts of walks of life and all sorts of ways along the journey to Jesus. And I want to be standing with them, anticipating the greatest move of God that we've seen. I want to be with that crowd. I want to be with them. I want to be that crowd here. I want to be that crowd of people that's just saying, we don't have everything figured out. We're kind of all different. We kind of have different walks of life. We sort of don't see everything the same just yet, but we really believe Jesus is about to move. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near, and we want to see it. We want to see what's going to happen. So then there's these other people that start coming near. In Matthew 3, 7 to 10, it says, but when he, that's John, saw the many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So John says, listen, you guys are law followers. You do all this stuff. You make sure that your righteousness is set. You make sure that everyone knows that you're the best, that you're the smartest, that you're the most holy, that you're the most capable. He says, but there's a new move that's happening, and I want to tell you what it's all about. It's all about repentance. And if you're not living with repentance in your life, then you can't be part of this crowd. This crowd is sitting, anticipating what God might do. We don't know what it'll look like, but our readiness is built on our repentance. That once we've separated ourselves from all of our thought on what this should look like, on what God should even look like, on what church should even look like, on what all of this should look like. Everyone's showing up to John and they've got these ideas. This is what life should look like, or family should look like, or marriage should look like, or my finances should look like. This is how much I should get. This is what a blessed life looks like. And this is what, you know, all of these things are coming and John's just saying, repent. You can imagine, what are you saying repent to? Say, repent, repent of all of that. Repent of everything that you get stuck within. Repent of everything that's not the kingdom of heaven. Repent that everything that would bind up your mind and keep you from receiving everything that's about to come. Because if you're a crowd looking to what's about to come, you need to rid yourself of everything that would keep you from receiving it. If something's about to happen, what do we need to do to ready ourselves? And John says, repent and be baptized. Repent, give up your ways of thinking. Put them down for a moment. Put down what every philosopher has told you. Put down what every politician has told you for a moment. Put down what your parents have told you. Put down your understanding of scripture that you're so locked in on that you can't see anything right now. Put it down for a second. Lay it down for a moment. Rethink everything, because the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. And when it does, you need to be ready to receive. It comes through repentance. And then it starts coming. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. But do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Worship team, you can come on up. Who got to see that? The entire crowd. Everyone who said, you know what, I'm expecting the move of God. I'm expecting the kingdom of heaven, so I'll stick around. I'm expecting something to take place that I can't even understand, so I'll stick around. None of the crowd expected what it was going to look like. None of the crowd could have defined what it was going to look like. In fact, everyone was surprised when it took place. None of the crowd's looking like, okay, when the kingdom of heaven comes, it's going to be this, 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 and this. No, that was actually what they were repenting of. They were repenting of all of those ideas. In fact, those who got stuck in those ideas were the ones who wouldn't take part in the crowd, and the ones that wouldn't repent, because they were stuck only thinking of what they had known before. Repentance is us saying, God, your ways are better than my ways. Jesus, your wisdom is higher than my wisdom. It's greater than what I've learned so far. It's greater than what others can teach me. It's more than what I've seen. And so I will lay down every one of my thought processes and take on yours. Repentance says, give me your brain, Jesus. Give me your understanding for morality, God. Give me your understanding for politics that has serving at the basis of it, rather than power. Give me your mind. Give me your heart. He's about to show up. The kingdom of heaven is near, says John. He's about to come. He's about to move. He's about to change people. He's about to shape people. He's about to do miracles. And all these people were ready because they had repented of the ways they had been stuck. They repented of the ways they were thinking. They were repented of who they thought got to be in and who didn't get to be in. So when the kingdom of God showed up, they were in the crowd. When God said, "This is my son, Jesus Christ. He's my son. I'm proud of him. I'm pleased with him." So another time God shows up, says, "This is my son. Listen to him." You can't listen to Jesus if you're too busy listening to all the other things that you've decided are immovable in your life. Repentance removes those. So John's saying, come be part of the crowd. Come on, the kingdom of heaven is near. Come on, everybody, everybody. I know my outfit's not great. My diet is not great. I'm living in the wilderness. It's kind of crazy. But the kingdom's coming close. I bet a lot of people who went to see John in the first place were going just to take pictures of how this crazy guy living in the woods, or like throw stones at him, or like do a house tour of his branch teepee or something like that. Like I don't know what it was going to look like. Like they were going to go and see, like, what in the world is this? But they show up in the power of God is there. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. And whatever reason people come, there's something that shifts in us that we might come to oppose Jesus. We might come to doubt Jesus. We might come to be skeptical of Jesus. We might come to turn people away from Jesus. But when we show up and we feel the kingdom of heaven drawing near and the presence of God moving and it draws us to repentance, we will see Jesus this way. And I want to be part of that crowd. I want to be in that crowd. Three's a crowd. We're a crowd. Let's be a crowd that's looking forward to it, that's expecting it, that's believing it, that's looking for it, that's repenting of all of our junk that will keep us from it when it shows up. So I want to pray for you. I want to invite you the same way John invited you. Or invited those people, invites us. Says, hey, the kingdom of heaven's near. There's a crowd developing. There's a crowd growing. Something's about to happen that you'll have never seen before and you'll never see again. It's going to be different than what you've known. It's going to be different than what you expected. So I would like you to repent of your expectation. Repent of the idea that there's anything outside of the kingdom of heaven that will fulfill you. Repent of the idea that there's anything that can sustain your life outside of the kingdom of heaven drawing near to your life. Repent of the concept that you probably know more, that there are some things that you'll stand on and you won't let Jesus remove you off of. Repent of the idea that a mixture of you and your thoughts and other religions and Jesus can work. Repent of the concept that anything outside of the kingdom of heaven is worth serving. And John says, come and repent of that. Be baptized of that. And then you'll see that it's not about crazy man in the wilderness shouting out. It's about Jesus showing up and God the Father calling down and placing his Holy Spirit on him and watching the ministry that would take place with the crowd after that. Because after that, Jesus goes into isolation and then a crowd follows him. Which crowd? Same one, the ones who heard the stories and wanted to see it, wanted to check it out, wanted to know it. And Jesus wasn't afraid of doing ministry amongst people, wasn't afraid of doing miracles amongst people who didn't yet believe in him. He's still not. So today I want to give you that chance. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes, if you will, with me. Nothing crazy here. I'm just going to pray for you. If you say, today I need that repentance in my heart. I'm stuck in a way. I'm stuck in a system. There are certain things that if Jesus showed up in my life, or as I'm feeling the kingdom of heaven drawing near, there are certain things that I wouldn't give up, certain ways of thinking that I won't give up. There are certain things that I'm going to continue to persist in and I've told God that he's wrong on. There are certain things that we need to repent of and prepare for receiving him as the kingdom draws near. Do you want to be part of the crowd that says, I will give up my old ways of thinking and watch as the kingdom of heaven draws near and accomplishes what I never knew it could. Do you want to be part of that crowd? Do you want to be part of that expectation? Would you give up your old ways of thinking and give up every system that you're stuck in and give up every idea and concept of where you, every prejudice that you have, every racism that's a little bit in you, every sexism that's a little bit in you, every little piece of you that has determined that some people are less worthy and some people are more worthy, every idea that you have about what success looks like, would you give up all of those things in a readiness to receive the presence of God as the kingdom of heaven draws near? If you say today, you know what, I got to repent, I need to do that, I want to be part of the crowd that repents and looks for the kingdom of heaven drawing near, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you, God bless you, and you here, God bless you, and you, God bless you, God bless you. Is there anyone else? Yeah, you're saying, I want to repent. I want to be the ones who, I'm not holding anything too tightly. I just want to see the kingdom of heaven. God bless you, 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 you. I just want to be holding on to heaven. I want to know the King. Bless you, Jesus. You see all the hands. You see all the hands in the room. You see all the people seeing. That's what it's all about. Jesus, I pray that you would lead us to be a church that's not like the Pharisees who come out with all of their ideas and are sent away by John, but instead the ones who are checking it out, who are curious, who are wondering what God might do. Lord, I pray that we would have anticipation and excitement about what might happen. Lord, would you allow our hearts to be readied through us repenting to you of any lost expectation, anything that we're stuck in, any system that we can't kick, any of that, Lord, we repent of it. We say we turn away, our eyes are fixed on you, and we're ready to see the kingdom of heaven draw near and move in new ways. We are a crowd that's looking for you. Jesus, we love you. Would you move in incredible ways? In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Come on. He is good. He's good. He's moving in us, and I want to be part of the crowd that's expecting it. And we're going to be, we're going to be that crowd that's expecting something great from God. There's more to come. His greatest work isn't what took us here. His greatest work is what will move us on from here. God bless you all. If today is a new day for you, you've made a decision, or you're new to this church, you want to get connected, fill out a connect card, let us know. Pass it to the info center. We'd love to get you connected into a small group or onto team. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week unless you pop in at our 6:30 tonight. Have a great one.